Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected.
Maing hapon sa tanan. Good afternoon. And Merry Christmas. Wah, dool na jud. Christmas is just around the corner, and it is about time that we start also our Christmas sermon series. Diba? And as what mentioned by Pastor Nick, title is Christmas Carols. Remember when you were kids? No? I'm sure everybody here nakakaroling yun sila, no? No? And in fact, every night, balik-balik lang, every night, balik-balik, the same songs and the same houses, especially kung dako og ihatag, di ba? Anyway, what were your favorite Christmas carols? Sige, para dilita maluya or katulgon, let's have a short game. Can you name this tune, di ba? Sige, let's start with the first one. Very good. Kasadyaning taknaa. How about this one, be? Same gapon? Saman. Ang Pasko ay sumapit. Very good. This one. Good. Pasko na naman. Di ba? Sige, last na lang, Jude. I think this is very familiar, especially when you start the bear months. Sige. Dili siya pilosada. Christmas is in our hearts by Jose Marichan. Okay. Anyway, starting today and the rest of the Sundays this month, we'll be looking at some of the more popular Christmas carols we sing each year. And we'll be looking at the biblical basis and the meaning behind each song. This will be a fun series. I hope this will be fun, no? I think, malingaw na magudaan. And I think we'll find it very meaningful. You know, there's a difference between Christmas carols and the popular Christmas music that sing about Santa Claus, decorations like the Christmas tree, no, the bells, and the gifts under a tree. These popular songs that fill the music scene might bring back some warm memories and thoughts, and there's nothing wrong about those. But the original Christmas carols were more than that. Christmas carols were written to remind us of the most important event in human history. These songs reflect on the first Christmas when God came down to earth so He could bring hope and salvation to a dark and lost world. These are the ones that are worth our study and reflection. Excited? Sige, let's start with the first one. And this is now one of my favorite Christmas carols, O Holy Night. I believe all of us know about this song, right? Sa may wakabaw. I think tanan yung kabaw, no? While most of us know about this song or can sing this song from memory, I bet none of you know about its history, no? Kasi nakabaw? Wala, no? Its history is quite an interesting one. The lyrics of O Holy Night that we know of now was translated by an English minister named John Sullivan Dwight. Kita rin, no? From a French song composed by a well-known Adolf Adam and written by a poet named Placide Capot, no, in the mid-1800s in France. Yes, it's now a 200-year-old song. What's interesting about its history is that both Placide and Adolf were not Christians. Placide was a wine merchant, didn't go to church at all, but he was a good poet. And a local priest asked him to write a poem based on Luke 2. Adolf, no, can see there, Yeah, the middle. Adolf, who was Placide's friend, was an atheist. And once some of the church people found about them, the Catholic Church attempted to stop its playing, but it was too late. It had already spread across the world. So what does that tell us? This tells us that you can know the story of Christmas without knowing the Christ. You can know the story without knowing Jesus, the Savior. And most people sing the Christmas carols but do not believe the words. Another thing this tells us is you can also be an outsider, an outcast, a broken person, and still be part of God's purposes. God uses all kinds of people to accomplish His purposes. What really matters to us is, are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? Do you know the Savior? So despite of its questionable origins, this carol captures the beauty of the gospel. And we'll come to appreciate this as we look at this song today. But before that, I'd like to ask Nikki to sing for us, no? As we reflect on its familiar lyrics.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the soul
praise the Lord. Thank you, Nick. Let us all stand up and let us read our scripture text for today in Lamentations 3, verses 21 to 26. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, thank you so much, O Father God, for the opportunity once again, O Lord God, to worship you, to sing songs to you, O God. And thank you, O Lord God, for bringing us here together, Lord. Father, Lord, we ask, O God, that you will fill this place with your presence, with your Holy Spirit, O Father God. Open our eyes, O Lord God, open our hearts to receive your word, O Father, Lord. And Father, Lord, protect me, O Father God, cover me with your precious blood. Whatever words, O God, that comes out, O God, ikaw lang yun na mag-glorify, nothing else, O Lord God. So thank you so much, Lord. And whatsoever you accomplish today, O Lord God, we return to you back all the glory, honor, praises, and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we think of that holy night of Jesus' birth, we usually think of that serene, peaceful atmosphere surrounding the manger scene. We still don't picture out the chaos and noise that is associated with childbirth. I believe all my dears here will agree with me. It was surely not a silent night at all. Diba? We usually associate the word holy as pure and perfect, untouched by sin. But in the Bible, holy usually means set apart for God, describing people and things concentrated for God's use only. And that night is rightly described as holy because it was not like any other night before nor after it. It was the appointed night when the unthinkable happened. The holy eternal one who has no beginning was born. Now in this song, O Holy Night, there's a part that I want us to focus on today. I believe this is the core message of this song. And I hope that whenever you sing this song in the future, this part will have a deeper meaning for you. These are the lines. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. We'll be focusing on this because a thrill of hope is exactly what we need because we are a weary world right now. If there are just two words that to describe our world today, it's weary world. We thank God that things are getting better now with our pandemic situation. But there's still a lot of anxiety and questions like, is the virus really contained? Or just not being reported properly anymore. Basi natabunan na because of the election? Will we be safe without the face shield or less physical distancing? What of this new strain, the Omicron in South Africa that is starting to spread? Is our vaccine enough to protect us against it? But even without this pandemic, life can still be overwhelming. Every third person seems to have some serious disease. More and more are diagnosed with mental illnesses. Marriages and families are struggling. Indeed, we are the weary world right now. The weary world exists in and out of our hearts. We are a weary world right now. Yet this song tells us that there is a thrill of hope. To the faithful Jews for centuries waiting and trusting in God's promises, that holy night brought a thrill of hope. The Messiah was finally born. And suddenly, the weary world does what? The weary world rejoices. And from that night on, everything would be different in this weary world. Hope has come forever. That's what I'm praying for today. That if you have a weary world in your soul today, you would experience a thrill of hope. And inside your weary world, you will find the faith to rejoice. Why? Because even in the chaos of the night, there is a new and glorious morn. So when you hear and sing this song, I don't want you to just think about that holy night, but I want you to think about what happens the next day. The sun comes up. The Savior has been born. And on that new and glorious morning, everything is different because a day with Christ can change everything. Think about how different everything is because Jesus changes everything. So let's now focus on a new and glorious morning. And to get us there, let us go to today's scripture text in the book of Lamentations. The context of this of Lamentations is when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians in 586 BC. The Israelites have been defeated, taken into captivity, taken away from their homes and their homeland. Many of them were slaughtered. It was a dark time for Israel. And the prophet Jeremiah was lamenting and complaining to God in behalf of the Israelites. He just pours out his hurting heart and confusion on this book. But notice in chapter 3, we see a switch where he moves from his mourning into a moment of faith. Jeremiah moves from the darkest of nights toward a moment of hope. Let's look at Lamentations chapter 3. Let's start from verse 17 to see a glimpse of his darkness. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Jeremiah was losing his ability to endure and hope in the Lord. But it is surprising what he does about this in verse 19. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. When Jeremiah lost all his hope, he actually felt it useful to remember his sufferings, to understand how bitter it is to be under God's hand of discipline. Unlike what we do, Jeremiah did not prescribe positive thinking. Instead, he continually remembered his suffering, and his remembering led him to bow down and surrender himself into the mighty hand of God. And as he bowed down in his soul, the Lord made him remember a truth that started a new hope within. Verse 21, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Jeremiah knew the truth, but with all his worries, it was pushed at the back of his mind. But now he calls it back to the front. He's saying, I will have hope when no one else does because I know this to be true. And this truth is, let's declare verse 22 together. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. In the midst of suffering, the wrath of God, he remembers that God is also love. God still loves them. God still loves him and his people. Obviously not because they were good or obedient, but only because love is who God is. And his love is unconditional. Amen? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, meaning there is never a moment when God stops loving us. So when we are under his discipline, he still loves us. Hebrews 12, verse 6 clearly teaches us, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Amen? The second part of verse 22 says, his mercies never come to an end. Because of God's mercy, we do not get what our sins deserve, which is death. And praise God, there is no limit to His mercies. But they are what? They are new every morning. Praise God. For followers of Jesus, morning always comes. Satan deceives us into believing that the darkness will never end and that morning will never come. But we know this truth. With God, morning never fails to come. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for a night, but rejoicing come in the morning." Church, indeed, with God, morning never fails to come. That is why with his next breath, Jeremiah breaks into praise, exalting God. "Great is your faithfulness." Hallelujah. God never fails us. Not now, never in the past, and never will. Amen? He is faithful to the end. His mercies and love has no end. He will see you through the dark and bring you to a new and glorious morning every time. It is amazing what a new day with Christ can bring. And I want to show you three things, truths that can bring you a thrill of hope when your weary world is in darkness. Truth number one is, a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. Because God's mercies are new every morning, every day with Christ brings exactly what you need. Note that I did not say exactly what you want, but what you need. Let me clarify that because we know that sometimes what we want and what we need are two different things. When we are going through a dark time, we need to trust that God provides exactly what we need and exactly when we need it. This is what Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 teaches us when Jeremiah reminds himself, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him." The Lord is my portion. What does that mean? Portion is the part that has all we need. Portion or part that is enough for us. Some scholars believe that this is likely referring back to the time when the Israelites were wandering in the desert and God would provide each person his or her daily portion of heavenly manna. Every day when they would wake, God would give them exactly enough portion of manna for that day. And if they ever tried to hoard it and keep it for some for the next day, it would rot and they got maggots. God was teaching them that they need Him every single day. Just like Jesus taught us to pray, "Give me today my daily bread." We need God every day, not just His provision or blessings. The Lord is my daily portion. The Lord is exactly who we need every day. A new day with Christ always brings exactly what you need. And what you need is the presence of God, His reality, His strength, His power, and His grace. He is and has everything we need today and for tomorrow, whatever it brings. He's already there in our tomorrows. So if your marriage is struggling, God is in your tomorrow waiting for you. And He is what your marriage needs. If you are weak and unwell today, God is already in your tomorrow and His strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you are down and depressed today, He is already in your tomorrow and He is your joy and the lifter of your head. Our Almighty God has your today and tomorrow cared for. Indeed, great is His faithfulness. Amen? So trust Him. Trust Him to provide exactly what you need each day. He is enough for you. Jesus is enough for us. So let's declare this together. The Lord is my portion. Again, the Lord is my portion. That is why a new day with Christ always brings exactly what you need. That's the first amazing truth. The second truth that I hope this ministers to you, a new day with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. Because God's mercies are new every morning, a new day with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. In the NIV it says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. This is the thrill of hope in the weary world. It's the thrill of hope and faith when all we see is darkness. This hope is the belief that there's a new morning coming in the middle of the chaos of the night, because our hope is in the Lord. It is said that as human beings, we can live almost 40 days without food, 8 days without water, and close to 4 minutes without oxygen. But we can only live a few seconds without hope. I believe there are too many people today who are trying to survive a hope-deprived life. According to the World Health Organization, more than 800,000 people die due to suicide every year. And we know that most, if not all, suicide is very much tied to hopelessness. And the pandemic has worsened this. The Philippine Statistics Authority observed a 57% increase in the country's suicide rate in 2020 compared to the preceding year. 2020 pa rin, no? Wala pa 2021. 57% increase is really very high. People are obviously struggling to find places to put their hope. And sadly, they're choosing to put their hope in the wrong places. Some put their hope in the stock market, but that is very risky these days. Many put their hope in jobs and careers, but companies let them go so easily. If you put your hope in people, sooner or later they will fail you no matter how hard they try. And surely you don't want to put your hope into yourself. You know very well how your life does not happen exactly as you want it, di ba? When we put our hope in the wrong places, we end up becoming a hopeless, weary world. So where can we hope? What can we hold on to? The answer is in Hebrews 10:23. Read this with me. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Again, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What is this hope we profess? It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born that holy night. He lived a perfect life and was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. He came to save those who believe and repent, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. To profess this hope is to be saved. To hold unswervingly to this hope is to live according to it. Because true belief is shown by the way one lives. No? If you truly believe, your life will show it. You will keep holding on to Jesus, your hope. Though at times you wander and fall, you always get back to the path. Why? Because you are strong in faith? No. Only because he who promised is faithful. Amen? The only reason we can hold on to this hope of salvation is the faithfulness of the God who will never fail to accomplish his purposes. It is God's promise that gives us our sure hope. He always keeps his word as a perfect father. Indeed, great is his faithfulness. Amen? That is why to hope in him is the most logical and beneficial action we can take. To hope in him is to seek him first. Verse 25 says, The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Just like King Jehoshaphat, no? To ang last week na itong devotional, who, when surrounded by his enemies, fasted to seek the Lord's help first. So the Lord delivered them in a mighty way. And they won the battle without even fighting. No? Grabe. God turned their night of possible destruction into a new day of victory. When we seek God first, every new day will bring us the hope to keep going. So a new day with Christ does not just bring exactly what you need, but a new day with Christ also brings the hope to keep going. And third, a new day with Christ brings us the help you're seeking. Verse 26 says, "It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Salvation here means the Lord's deliverance or help. For Jeremiah, he is remembering God's promise to bring a remnant back to Israel after 70 years of exile in Babylon. He's submitting to the plans God had revealed him to him. So he says, it is good to wait. Even if it is hard to wait, it is good to wait. Because great is his God's faithfulness. He has a perfect record of fulfilling his promises. Surely, the Lord's salvation, his help, will come his way in his time with a new day. Let me remind you about these people who had a day with Jesus and it changed everything. Lazarus, dead for 4 days. He was already stinking, no? Nanimaho na. Everyone had given up hope. Jesus shows up, looks at the grave and says, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus walks out. And he would testify, it's amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make. A woman with bleeding problems for 12 years, suffering the pain, humiliation, and rejection, banned from worshiping at the temple. Then she sees Jesus and touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. She will tell you that you can't even describe the difference that one day with Christ can make. A man lame since birth, never walked in his life for 38 years, no? Every day waiting by the pool of Bethesda for God's miracle. One day Jesus came and looked at him and said, "Pick up your mat and walk." And he walks. This man will tell you, it's amazing the difference what one day with Christ will make. Still another man, he carefully followed all customs and traditions required for salvation, always striving to do good. But the more he strives, the more he failed. He was burdened and weary by guilt and shame. Then Jesus opened his eyes to the truth, and instead of striving, he started believing and surrendered his life to Jesus, his Savior and Lord. Jesus set him free. Jesus set me free. That was me. And now I testify to you, it was a great day when I got to know the Lord Jesus. Indeed, it is really amazing the difference one day with Christ can make. Because Jesus did not just bring the help we need, but he himself, that help is that help and salvation. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. No? God is our ever-present help. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. God himself is our salvation. Jesus is the only Savior who did not just come to show the way, to show us the way, but he himself is the way. He is our salvation. He is our help. So if you're you are frustrated at your marriage or your complicated family relationship and think it will never be what it should be, take heart. God Himself is your help. He is able to mend broken relationships so that you can say, it's amazing the difference what one day with Christ can make. You may be looking at your body with the many medicines you are taking, or you're looking at someone you love who is sick. Take heart. We serve a God who is able to heal. Whether He heals or doesn't heal the way we think He should, in the presence of God and in His goodness, you can say, it is still amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make, because a new day with Christ brings you the help that you are seeking. Whatever challenge you are facing now that makes you say, I am a weary world, take heart. There is a thrill of hope, because the hope of the world, Jesus, was born that holy night. He has come. Hope has come. A new and glorious morn has come. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. So rejoice, O weary world, for our God is truly faithful. He has turned the night into a new and glorious morning. Through His Son, He has turned our life of sin and darkness into a life of holiness, walking in His light. Rejoice, because every new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. Jesus is our portion. He is exactly who we need. Rejoice, because a new day with Christ gives you the hope to keep on going. Jesus is our hope that keeps on holding to us. Rejoice, because a new day with Christ brings you the help that you are seeking. Jesus is our help and our salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much, O God, for reminding us, for speaking to us, O Lord. Thank you, O God, for Jesus. Thank you, O God, for your love, O God, your unconditional love. Thank you, O Lord God, that you are faithful to us, O God. Despite and in spite of our unfaithfulness, you remain faithful to us, Lord. Thank you so much, O Lord God. And Lord, may we apply, O God, your word today. May we trust you. May we surrender to you, O God. We believe in you, O Father, Lord. And Lord, thank you. May this Christmas, O Father God, reminds us of your Son, O God, who died for us. And now we are saved, O God. We have access to you freely, O Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Whatsoever we accomplish, O God, today, just bring you back all the glory, honor, praises, and thanks. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.